I've never met a community more resourceful
Right.
and more ingenious and
Right.
creative and innovative than military members. Survival is actually dependent on the level of creativity that we can not only encourage, but that we have to exhort across the military members. And I do want the world to know that that is our bread and butter. If we're not innovating, if we're not creating, then the military and our mission will suffer dramatically.
MilitaryCreatorCon.com.
Great XQ. Roger.
Well, hi. How are you, Sung?
I am doing great. It's great to see you, Mara.
It's nice to see you too. I am super excited to be spending some time with you now, because at Military Creator Con we have a panel together. But we'll talk about more of that later. So what we want to know is all about Sung,
Oh
and
boy.
what I know about Sung, and we're going to talk about your military background, is that your grandmother used to call you Oogie. I got it. I get a
Yes, she
champagne.
did. Yes, she did. I cannot deny. It's actually an interesting story. When I was at the Air Force Academy, one of our responsibilities was we would have to answer the manual phone back then. And
Oh.
then there was about 100 of us, and there was one phone. And so when the phone would come in, whoever's manning the phones would then go run to the room and get the person who the call is for.
Oh boy.
And one day, my grandmother called, and she knows me by my Korean name and how you pronounce my Korean name, and it's pronounced Pak Sung Uk. But when you say it in one flow, it's often said with an E at the end. So Pak Sung Oogie. And so she used to just call me Oogie. And so when she
Naturally,
contacted, naturally. So
yes.
then when she contacted the Air Force Academy and they're like, who can we get for you? And she's like, Oogie, Oogie. And so next thing I know, I'm in my room and I hear one of my classmates running down the hallway. Is there an Oogie? Is there an Oogie? Because they only knew me by Sung.
Right.
And then I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, what in the world? And then I open my door and they're like, Oogie? And I'm like, what? And they're like, your grandmother's on the phone. I was like, oh. And
That
you
was
know what?
all it took. I know you were Oogie forever then. You were, that was
That
it.
Thing stuck with me all the way until I think I was a major in the
Oh
United
my
States Air
goodness.
Force. Yeah,
And then you said to
forever.
yourself, if I want to make more rank, I better drop the Oogie part, right? I
I
love
got to get
that.
serious at some point.
I like Oogie. I think grandma had it right. It works for
Well,
me.
thank you. It's very
So
endearing. It's very endearing.
it is. It's super cute. And the fact that your grandmother gave it to you is even better. I'm sorry. I'm a little like sentimental about that kind of stuff. So let's talk about your military background a little bit. So you went to the academy. Tell us a little bit about your journey and what you did and how you feel about it. Let's talk a little bit about that. Sometimes I don't get into that enough with the people I talk to, and I find it fascinating.
Sure. So, I'm a guy that's a product of the Top Gun era, the original Top Gun, right?
James, too, you know that, right? Like that, he
No, I
was
did
all
not
about,
know
oh,
that.
yeah, that's why he
Yeah.
went into the Air Force. He's like,
So,
oh, I gotta play volleyball on the beach. I gotta ride a fast motorcycle and find some cute girls. That's my life.
I mean, that was a part of the allure, right? So part of the
Yeah.
allure was, I guess if I go to a place that has jets, I can end up with not only the girl, but I can end up with a pretty cool life and ride a motorcycle and all that stuff. But quite honestly, I knew nothing about the military. I was a kid out of the suburbs of Illinois. I was a gymnast and I wanted to do collegiate gymnastics.
Wow.
And the Air Force Academy was one of the schools that reached out and said, hey, we would love for you to come and do gymnastics for our school. So next thing I know, I go from the Midwest. I'm in Colorado. I'm staring at the Rocky Mountains for the first time. And I thought, hey, this is pretty cool. I think I could get used to this. And so that's really how I kind of hopped into the military was I thought Top Gun was cool. I thought the mountains were amazing and I could do gymnastics at this school in Colorado. And then the next thing I know, I'm shining boots and ironing shirts and I'm thinking to myself,
What did
what
I
is this
do?
all about, right? So So, I mean, if I'm 100% honest, Mara, I was without a doubt, I was a fish out of water. And I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. And it took a journey for me to get to a place of truly wanting to be in the military versus just being in the military.
Right.
And I will never forget, I had this class with a philosophy. It was a philosophy class. And the title was called War and Morality. Mm. And the teacher came in and he says, show of hands, how many of you know what you're willing to die for? And everybody raised their hands. Mm. Unanimous.
Really? Said,
yeah, really. It was interesting. So, and you know, even I had a kind of a sense of what I'm willing to die for. And then he says this. Then he says, okay, keep your hands up. I got another question. How many of you know what you're willing to kill for?
Very different question.
Very different question. And I just started slowly feeling my hand go down. I saw a lot of other hands remain up, but my hand went all the way down. And I sat there and I thought, I don't have an answer to that question. And so, would you believe that was after my sophomore year at the Air Force Academy, I left. Because I did. I took, at that time, the Air Force Academy offered what they call a gap year. It was called a stop out. And if you wanted to leave for 1 year, do whatever you want to do, so long as you don't get married or you don't get in legal problems. After that 1 year, if you want to come back, you can come back.
Had no idea.
And so I ran because I needed to see, number one, what would I be not only willing to die for, but what might I kill for? And also, is this for me for the next umpteen years, right? And so I ran. This kid from Chicago, Midwest, went back to Chicago, tried to see how green grass was on the other side. And initially, it was pretty green, right? I was at a civilian college, having fun, going to parties in my pajamas, staying up late, waking up later. And it was all the things that college is supposed to be, but it was missing one thing. It was missing that kind of that deep sense of purpose.
Yes.
And mission that I guess I hadn't realized, but after being there for 2 years, it really kind of started coming into my DNA. And when I finished that year at University of Illinois, I said, I need to get back to that place. I need to go back to that place where there's this common set of core values, where we have this sense of patriotism, where we have a belief and a purpose in our nation and what we're doing. And so I went back there, graduated from there. And then the next thing I know, 25 years later, I served and I finally retired in 2017.
You know, I think it's interesting because I knew you were going to say purpose was what drew you back. And it's, and I think that that's what all of us are looking for in our lives ultimately. But the fact that you kind of got that so early is kind of cool. I really think that's really kind of amazing. You know, you were at the Academy in Colorado Springs, I presume, right?
Yeah.
So we spent a month there.
Oh, beautiful.
One of my favorite places. I think we also had an issue with the transmission there because we were towing around the RV, but that's another story. And because, you know, mountainous.
How many miles you guys got on that RV?
Oh, I don't even know. I don't love the RV. I don't love the RV, so we haven't toted it around. And that was my idea to get it, which is even sadder. But it's the way my husband drives, y'all. Like, it's crazy. He's like an A to B driver, but he like focuses so much that he'll miss an off ramp and then be like, oh. I'm like, we have this huge thing. We're towing this big thing. Like, just not an O. What? Yeah. So I don't love it. Like turning it around. We were in Bend, Oregon. You know Bend.
Oh,
with
beautiful.
That huge ass thing. And I'm like, this is not working. Like, I think we bumped over some like center dividers. Like, it was just, it's just bad. So anyway. But we were back to July. We were there the whole month of July. And it was lovely. July in Colorado Springs was phenomenal. So anyway, that was awesome. I just wanted to mention that. So what do you do now? Let's talk about, you transitioned out. You served how long?
25 years.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
And you, what do you do now? And what, how did that transition go for you? And what do you do now?
So while I was in the military, my background was economics. I studied economics. I even taught economics at the Air Force Academy. And then for my job or my career field for 25 years, I was what I call the CFO with body armor, right? Just always making sure that whatever resources or money needed to get to the warfighter, myself and my team would make sure that those resources and that funding would get to the warfighter, whether it's stateside, whether it's overseas, whether it's a deployment. That's what I did for 25 years. But because my background was economics and I had taught this topic of how to live life and leadership through the lens of economics, it was a seminar that I developed and I started speaking on it quite regularly. And the Air Force at several layers of leadership, they kind of got wind of this topic. And so for the latter part of my career, I would say probably like the last 5 to 10 years, Mara, the Air Force was kind of sending me around places and I was speaking on Leadernomics. So I'm doing financial management, CFO type work for the Air Force. Then I'm off speaking about Leadernomics. And then I didn't realize to what extent Leadernomics was kind of catching on in military circles. And then suddenly I retired, right?
Yeah.
I retired. I go off into the sunset. I've got 3 teenage kids I'm still raising. And I settled in San Francisco. And I really, in many ways, maybe both to just find my new voice as a civilian, I really kind of detached from my military community. And I really plugged in to San Francisco and to the things that I was doing. And then about 4 years ago, out of the blue, I got contacted by a chief master sergeant who was a good friend and colleague of mine in the last couple of years of the Air Force. And he said, "Where did you go? Where have you been? You've like dropped off the face of the earth. And more importantly, your topic, that Leadernomics topic, people are still talking about it and they're asking where they can get more of it. So if you're alive and if you're out there, please send me an email or a DM, right?" And I did, but it was like a shot in the arm that I needed, a reminder of, man, you left this community, but you didn't just leave the community. You had a topic, a message that was resonating. Right. And you just kind of dropped the ball on it. And so my wife at that time and I were talking, and she said, "You know what, son? You need to reengage, and you need to write a book."
Yes, I thought that's when the book came out, right?
Yeah, so then the last 4 years I was writing, and then last September I published. And so since then, I've been reconnecting not only with the military community, but I've been reconnecting with government, industry, private sector. And then I've been trying to tell the world all about Leadernomics. So as an author and as a founder.
Well, I love that. And I know we've talked a little bit about different things. So one of the things you do is talk about Leadernomics and really have dived heavily into that. But what we're going to talk about at Military CreatorCon and why we're on the panel together is because we jointly have a real passion for creativity. And the development of creativity and the processes that sort of, you know, as an author, you've seen that white piece of paper or that little blinking cursor and what's involved in really pulling that out of you. So we're going to talk a lot about that at Military CreatorCon and other things.
I can't wait for that. I think that's such a good topic.
I'm super excited about it because it's an open conversation. So we don't actually know exactly what's going to be talked about. Like, we haven't planned anything. We've got a moderator who is the president, by the way. I don't know if you know this. Carmine is the president of United Inventors of America. So I don't know. There's 80,000 members of that worldwide. And so he's going to moderate our topic. So we'll see what comes out. I'm sure it'll be slanted towards invention. Just because of him, right? We'll see how that goes.
Awesome.
But let's talk about why you're coming to Military Creator Con. I think we're blessed as a community to have all these incredibly creative people. And everybody who knows me knows that I believe this, that the one of the most creative things you can do in the world is actually be in the military. And part of the reason I believe that is because of the problem-solving component. That it's such, you know, I always say, my husband says, like, listen, when you're downrange or you're doing whatever, there is no Walmart or no Radio Shack, no, you know, whatever. You've got to make it work, right? You figure it out.
Yeah.
And I love that because I think that's really what creativity is about, is developing those skills, those out-of-the-box skills that say, okay, this isn't working. What can I do to make it work, right? And or, hey, I have an idea, like, for I want to do this design because I think this will help me be better at what I do. And so that creates entrepreneurship, and that creates inventors, and that creates it's a need-based design concept, right? I'm very big on that. So why are you coming?
Because I like your husband, James. I think he's a pretty cool guy.
He's all right.
No, but I actually found Military Creator Con through him and through his profile on LinkedIn. And, you know, it's interesting, Mara, that you say that you see the military world as a place where we create. I put a post out there about Military Creator Con, and I actually had a comment from someone that said, isn't that an oxymoron?
Oh.
Military creator. And we had a little bit of a dialogue, and it was centered on the notion, right? The stereotype, military uniformity, military conformity.
Right. That's right? A good point. Yeah.
And to have the word creator next to military, it hit me that I think many people, maybe even most people, might view it as an oxymoron. What do you mean you guys are artists and entrepreneurs and creators and founders? And I resonate with you because exactly what you said, right? I've never met a community more resourceful.
Right.
And more ingenious.
Right.
And creative and innovative than military members. And it comes out of almost a state of
necessity.
Necessity.
Yes.
You never have what you need. And the government's never going to give you everything that you need.
With the billions that are allocated, supposedly. Yeah.
It's yeah.
Just how it is.
Just how it is. You'll never have enough people, but the mission doesn't go away. And the urgency doesn't go away. And so what do you do? And I think military members face that from day one. I don't have enough, but the mission's got to get done.
Right.
And so what do I do? And so you know what happens? Creativity has to kick in. Yeah. And so it's interesting that, you know, there is an aspect about the military that is definitely conformity. There is some uniformity, but survival is actually dependent on the level of creativity that we can not only encourage, but that we have to exhort across the military members. And I do want the world to know that is our bread and butter. If we're not innovating, if we're not creating, then the military and our mission will suffer dramatically. But I want to come, and I'm coming because, number one, I believe in this community.
Yeah.
I believe that the military is a community of creators, artists, and founders. I think sometimes the urgency of life and getting food on the table and paying the bills, I think oftentimes is a means by which our creativity gets suppressed.
Stifled, absolutely.
Stifled, right. Yes. And I get it. I understand, right? There are some urgent needs that need to be met. But I think creativity is in our DNA. It's in our heart and soul. And to find a community of veterans, military families, businesses that are wanting to support and inspire that inner creativity that's in all of us, and then to also see how can it be monetized and how can it actually deliver the things that you've been hoping for, that's a powerful community, and that's a powerful movement. And that's why I also like why it's called a movement. And so I'm excited. I couldn't wait to come to not only meet some of you individuals in person, but there's a vibe. There's an energy of care, support, inspiration, equipping, empowering, and I want to be a part of that. And I want to be there to be relating with people who are a part of that. Not just to give, but I plan to receive plenty too. And so yeah, I'm super excited.
I'm so, my heart is so full right now because I could never have said it better myself. And it just makes me, I'm so honored that you're going to be there. And I agree with you. I think it's really about being in the room. For me, so often people are like, oh, I'm going to be a speaker at this, or I'm going to, and that's great. That's great. But the reality is, you have impact just being in the room. Yeah. You're impacting others. It's impacting you. Like for me, that's, you know, that's what it's kind of about. So I'm very excited you're going to be there because you're going to, hey, I just love you. I just think you're so much fun. But you know, I just think it's kind of cool. I'm going to be talking to you on and off stage. I'm excited. I get to introduce you to different people that you may not know. And then I know what'll happen. You'll be like all like military. And I'll be like, okay, I'm.
No. Mara, you have a charisma and a personality that precedes you. I cannot wait to see you intermixing with everybody in that place. And by the way, the curation of speakers that you and James and whoever else is on the committee, the curation, the not only the number, but the curation.
Yeah, there's speakers, a lot of number. There's a huge number. It's over 50
speakers.
I was
the one that said that, like, you have done an amazing job of Tetris in building a 3-day agenda that is just incredibly packed with powerful, inspirational, equipping, life-giving speakers that you have somehow brought together. I mean, clearly you've laid forth a vision where people are on board. They're buying into this vision and they're coming. And the beauty is I've been able to connect with some of these people that I had not connected with before. I connected with Taylor Ray.
She's cool, isn't she? Yeah.
She's awesome. And I cannot believe how young she is.
I know. Like, she is an inspiration. Anybody who's on the younger side that doesn't, like, hold themselves up to, like, her example, like, she's phenomenal.
She is a spitfire. Yeah.
Not where she is at her age. What is she? I don't even want to say how old she is, but she's young. She's amazing. And
she's
amazing. Like, I don't think I was that powerful at her age. I love that.
And you know what? I mean, like, she's ambitious, but boy, she's also humble,
smart,
and teachable,
kind, gentle soul. Beautiful.
Yeah. So I've got a chance to chat with her. I'm excited to meet her. Donnie Bolvin.
Yeah.
Got a chance to meet up with Donnie. And you know why? So Donnie was on the speaker list. I was interested to meet him anyway, but we had two mutual connections that when they both heard we were going to Military Career Con, these two connections literally DM me and said, you have to meet Donnie. He's an amazing human being. And so so these are the kind of people that you've curated.
I want to just tell you how amazing Donnie is. Donnie called us up and wanted to be, and he's going to laugh at me now because he was wanting to be an anonymous sponsor. He sponsored 5 tickets.
That's awesome.
5 scholarships. Like, he was anonymous, but he's like, yeah, I don't really need to, you know, be recognized. But that's the kind of people we have, like, super amazing, wanting to encourage and help other people to be a part of what we're doing, learn, connect, do all that stuff. I want to curse. I fucking love it.
You know what? That doesn't surprise me. After having gotten to know Donnie a little bit, he has that generous heart. And love hearing that. And so, I mean, I'm so excited to meet the speakers, and what you guys have brought together is phenomenal. And I have a bit of advice for you.
Yes.
As a conference coordinator approaching the last couple of days of what's going to be just a crazy madhouse event.
Yes.
So I just had my daughter get married.
Oh, okay.
She just got married.
Yeah, that's intense.
It was intense. And she had one of those lead-ups that was just logistically crazy. Things were going right, things were going wrong, things were all over the field, and her brain was everywhere. And she is one of the most joyful people I know. And when I got to the ceremony the day before the rehearsal, she just looked stressed and tired. And I got a moment with her right before we walked down for the rehearsal walk, the first rehearsal walk the day before the wedding. And it was just me and her in the foyer. And I looked at her and I said, Ellie, can I give you some unsolicited advice? She said, what, Dad? And I said, you know, the one thing I regret about my wedding is that Mom and I were so busy and so stressed that everybody told us the wedding was great, but we didn't know it because we were so busy and stressed and we missed it. And I said, my one advice for you is the table set, whether the forks are in the right place, whether the spoons are there, the table is already pretty much set. But the one thing is everybody's looking at you and they're going to see whether or not you're having fun and whether you're enjoying the party, whether it's messy or clean. That's what they're going to be focusing is on, your smile and your face and your presence. Enjoy your wedding. It's your wedding. Enjoy it. Don't miss it. And don't be several years down the road hearing from people that it was great, but you didn't realize it was great. So my advice to you, Marav and James, the table is set. It may be kind of messy, but boy, I hope you and James, of all people, with what you guys have invested into this event, I hope you two, of all people, thoroughly enjoy from beginning to end. And you know what? Hey, ups and downs will happen. It's okay. Because you know what people are going to be looking at? They're going to be looking at, are James and Mara having an enjoyable, great, relational time? And if they see that, everybody's vibe is going to follow. So that's my word.
Yeah, no, I love that because I think that's easy for me to overlook. And so I appreciate that that advice. I think it's absolutely needed and I appreciate it. I needed to hear it. So I'm really, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I'm sorry, it was unsolicited. But
no, I love it. It's absolutely perfect. And what's funny is, you know, James and I only got married, it's actually April of 3 years ago, April 29th, 3 years ago, we got married. And I don't remember the wedding. I literally live what you just said because I was so nervous and, like, you know, I worried about it and I don't remember it exactly. I know everybody said it was wonderful. I was like, I think it was wonderful. We were up all night. We were in Vegas. So, like, everybody is like, yeah, but I don't want to do that again. I want to, like, absorb it and enjoy it and really be a participant at the event. And I always say it isn't about James and I. It's about the entire community. So I need to see it from the perspective of being a member of the community and, you know, not just the organizer, which really, who gives a rat's ass? Like, that's great, but I want to enjoy it from that perspective. So I'm going to remember that and do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's easy to forget because as a coordinator and as the facilitator, as the leader for both of you, you know, it's a lot of responsibility and you guys are stressed to make sure that everyone else is having a good time, right? That's what we do.
Yeah.
But it's in the midst of that I hope I can see you on the 18th and say, what'd you think? And you look at me and you say, son, this was a blast. This was unbelievable. It was so much fun.
Oh, I can't wait till you ask me that. And then I'll be honest. I'll be like, I blew it. I didn't enjoy it as much as I should have.
I think you're going to have a blast. And so I'm super excited. And it's a great community.
I'm thrilled. Yeah.
You guys have done the work. You've put in the sweat. It's done. And so it's going to, the audience is going to make it happen. It's going to be awesome.
There have been so many people sung, including you, that have really helped to bring this to life. So really, we can take no credit for it. But honestly, I know it's going to be amazing just by the sheer number of people who are supporting or involved and who are doing so many things. Like, I should really mention Sia, who's our producer, who's probably watching us right now going, you know, time. But like, she's donated her expertise, her time, I mean, she's a professional producer, is what she does. And she's donated her time to do creative conversations, creator conversations. And it's great. And she's going to be at the event. And there's so many people. It's almost like the Academy Awards. Honestly, like there's so many people you need to thank because everybody has a piece of it. It belongs to everyone. So I'm just grateful. Thank you for your piece. I appreciate you being here with us today.
And, yeah, thank you.
You have my heart. Thank you. I can't wait to see you.
Can't wait to see you guys. Kudos to James. And we'll see you guys in Texas.
All right. We'll see y'all in Texas. Come join us at Military Creator Con. You've still got a little time left to buy a ticket. So come.
Do it.
At MilitaryCreatorCon.com.
Great XQ. Roger.